Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So New York City, just look around you, is attracting so many European tourists this year here to take advantage of the weak dollar, and so many that you might be forgiven for thinking that neighborhoods like the East Village or, say, Dumbo have turned into an outpost of Rome. But if you need another sign that Europe is taking over New York, look beyond the sidewalks and into the streets, where increasingly it seems you are hearing this sound. And whether you love it or find it unbelievably annoying, that is the distinct waspy buzz of a Vespa motor scooter. But New Yorkers aren't taking to it just because it's hip. It's another reaction to the economic downturn and the increased price of gasoline. So let's talk about the Vespaization of New York. Wall Street Journal staff reporter Jonathan Welsh is with us. He covers consumer trends in the auto industry, and his recent article on this subject is called Born to Be Fuel Efficient on May 21st. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for coming on WNYC today.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
And we will open the phones to scooter riders. Tell us about your experiences owning a Vespa or other scooter in the city. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or join the conversation online, already in progress, at WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Jonathan, I'll start with something from our comments page, because people did not wait for the conversation to begin on this one. As soon as they saw it was up, as soon as they woke up in the morning and went to our webpage, the first comment came in at 7 minutes after six from Jeff in Astoria that says, if one lives in New York City, then one does not need any kind of fossil fuel vehicle, be it a car or a scooter, to travel and live in the city. These mopeds or scooters are not the answer for New Yorkers. I lived in New York City for 8 years and never had a car or any other fossil fuel vehicles, and it was the best time of my life. Get off your, and then I won't say what it says after that, and walk or subway. But anyway, the Vespas are coming.
They are indeed, and that's an interesting point that the listener brings up, because New York is such a, thought of as such a walking city. But one of the people I spoke to who does own a car but has parked it and has been riding his scooter for the last year or so, has he's only used the car 15 days out of the last year, and he said he would use public transportation, but because of where he's located in Red Hook, it would take him about an hour to go a total of maybe 6 or 7 miles to get to his job, where he can do it in about 20 minutes on the Vespa. So it's a toss-up, I think.
And Paula on Staten Island responded to Jeff in Astoria at 8 minutes after 8 this morning. They don't even wait for the show to begin. I think this is great. We'll post the topics, and, you know, people can start talking 24 hours a day. So it says, in response to the two posters above, because someone second Jeff's thought, I would like to remind them that not all of New York City has abundant public transportation. If one lives in Manhattan, one can live quite nicely without a motor vehicle of any kind. I live on Staten Island, which is a part of New York City where A, there are no subways, B, bus service within the borough is barely adequate, C, bus service to other boroughs is limited, writes Paula on Staten Island. So are we seeing the Vespas pop up in certain neighborhoods?
We are. It's interesting that somebody from Staten Island would chime in. We did find that a lot of the people we spoke to, anyway, who are really commuting on these scooters, do live in the outer boroughs, which we tend to forget. But we found some Manhattanites who are using them as well. Depends on where you are. If you're far north in Manhattan, making your way downtown to the financial district can be a headache. And I think people find that they're able to weave in and out of traffic a little more easily, fit through tighter spots, get around the taxis a little bit easier on a scooter.
So can you parse the numbers? And we have a Vespa owner from the East Village waiting on the line, and we're going to talk to him in a minute. But can you parse these sales figures for us a little bit? Is it Vespas? Is it other brands of scooters as well? Who's buying what in the New York area?
Well, there are a number of brands out there. Vespa tends to be the one everyone thinks of. It has such a distinctive profile, but
Say Vespas like we say Kleenex.
Right, same sort of thing. The Vespas are really the designer handbags of scooters. They're They're great looking. People had previously bought them more for style than for transport. You can buy new ones. There's also a big movement for vintage Vespas, which are sound more like the one that you played earlier. But Yamaha makes them, Honda, the usual suspects, the companies who make motorcycles tend to make scooters as well. And they're a small segment of the motorcycle market. But while motorcycle sales are flat or declining now, scooter sales are up almost 25% and just so far this year. So
is that a national stat?
Yes, yeah, that's nationally, and in certain pockets, including New York City, they're up even higher than
really?
That. They tend to, urban areas do favor scooters. In most cases, you're not going to ride 100 miles a day or take a 50-mile commute on them. But we did speak to some people who do.
And you can zig and zag between the lanes on the Grand Central Parkway while you're waiting to get over the Triborough Bridge.
Right. You try not to annoy the cars too much when you do that, though.
And the Segway didn't catch on, but scooters are.
Right. Isn't that funny? I've seen maybe a handful of Segways in the city the last 5 years, but the scooters have really proliferated, especially over the last maybe 6 to 12 months.
So Matt Godson is with us on the phone now. He's a Vespa owner in the East Village. Is that right, Matt?
That's right, Brian. Hi, good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for coming on. So let's see, you want to talk back to Jeff from Astoria and tell him why you use a Vespa rather than just taking good old public transportation?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that, of course, no Vespa owner would ever weave in and out of traffic. That's absolutely not the case at all, and we abide by every single highway rule that there is.
Yes, you would, and you would gloat as you're doing it.
Well, I'm a big advocate for Vespas. I've ridden a couple of Vespas since I've been in New York in the last 8 years or so, and I think pretty much any rider will tell you that it's cheaper, faster, and just simply more fun than any other form of transportation in the city. It's my contention, once you've bought it, it's actually even cheaper than riding the subway.
Wait, you don't mean cheaper than like a monthly Metro card, do you?
I would say it was, yeah. It cost me about $15 in gas every month, and I commute to work on it pretty much every day, and it cost me $20 in insurance. And when you match that against the cost of, say, an $81 Metro card, and then if you factor in a couple of taxes, I think it really pays off. It certainly saves me money.
What does the Vespa itself cost?
The Vespa, I mean, you'd probably have to ask the guys down at Vespa Soho this. They're the experts on that. But my Vespa, I think, cost me about $4,200.
Oh, is it really that cheap? That's actually a lot less than I thought it was going to be.
And you can buy them secondhand, and you can buy kind of cheaper models. But that's what a new Vespa goes about.
That's still a lot of $81 Metro cards, but
yes,
in
true,
general.
It's true.
What about the fun factor?
I mean, I think it's amazing. I mean, people really smile at you when you're riding it. There's a nice feeling of community. You always say hi to other Vespa riders when you see them on the street. I mean, car drivers even wind down their windows at lights and ask you how many miles per gallon you get, and it's kind of fun to watch them wince when you tell them. Yeah, I think it's fantastic, and it's really opened up the city for me and my wife, and it's been a real positive addition to our lives. I mean, you can go to places, as one of your callers said before, that you just can't get to because New York does not have seamless public transportation, so it opens up areas of the city that you couldn't otherwise get to.
Well, do people give you those wide smiles when they hear this?
I think you need to get that looked at.
You think that one's not in great operating condition?
I don't know. I mean, if you listen at trucks, in the city, and people beeping when they're backing up their big lorries and all sorts of stuff, I think that's kind of blends into the background. People don't tend to look at the noise, I don't think. Mine's pretty quiet, and I think most of the modern ones are these days.
So you don't think that one's cranking on all one cylinder?
Yeah, I think that one needs a little attention.
Okay. All right, Matt Dodson, thanks a lot for chiming in. Good luck riding around town.
Thank you very much. Best of luck.
And we're still with Jonathan Welsh, who covers consumer trends in the auto industry for the Wall Street Journal and wrote about the sharp uptick in Vespa and other scooter sales in the May 21st edition. And let's talk to Lewis on Staten Island, who's got a little complaint about how he gets treated when he rides his around town. Right, Lewis?
Hi, Brian. Mr. Roche, I was just curious because I brought back 1985 moped pedal bike, and I tried to get on the bridge with it, and they gave me a ticket because they said it travels too slow. I rode a friend of mine's Vespa, which is an awesome ride, but they kept on stopping me from getting on the bridge. Now, is there a limitation of speed that you have to be at, or, you know, wind shear or something like that they're worried about? I mean, what do I do?
My understanding is that you are allowed to ride scooters on the bridges, but there's a kind of a divide between scooters and mopeds, the pedal bikes, and honestly, I think there's also a little bit of a gray area. New York is, every scooter rider has told me, this is very unfriendly to two-wheeled transport.
Yeah, that's true.
Difficult
true.
To park, you know, some, I think it might depend on, frankly, on which police officer you're encountering on which day, as far as whether you get stopped and questioned. And
Lewis, what's the maximum speed that you can travel on that older, you know, moped kind of thing?
One, I think I'm doing 50.
50? Sorry, 50 is your max?
Pedal one. Yes.
Lewis is breaking up too bad. I'm going to have to move on. I'm going to move on to Sarah in Manhattan. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So you own a Vespa?
I do.
And?
I got it last September after 10 years in Manhattan with no transportation whatsoever except for public.
Wow. And public counts, by the way. That is
it
transportation.
Does, of course, that's true. But it has really been made me, it was just reborn my experience.
You were a shut-in until you got this Vespa is what you're saying, right?
For a while, yeah.
How do you use it mostly? How do you use it mostly?
I am a freelance rider, so I'm all over the city writing about all kinds of things, and particularly when I'm going east to west, I'm on the Upper East Side, and anytime I have to go west or to another borough, it's just a godsend. It's fantastic. As the other caller was saying before about gas, it's funny. I have a bright yellow Vespa, and I think because it's yellow, cabbies always really like me. They always let me over. They're always waving. It's like being a little parade. But when I'm at the gas station putting the little squirt of gasoline that it takes to run the thing, I always get at least two or three cabbies coming up to me and asking me how much it costs to fill and how long I can go on the 1 gallon.
And what's the answer?
It takes 1 gallon for me, which yesterday was the most I've ever paid for gas the whole time, of course.
Yeah, and tomorrow's going to be the next most.
We'll see. But thankfully, I won't need gas for a couple of weeks. I usually fill up every couple of weeks, and I go all over town just about every single day.
Right, so you don't know your miles per gallon, per se, as a numerical thing.
I don't. I need to check into that.
Right. Sarah, thanks a lot for calling. Good luck out there. And Jonathan Welsh from the Wall Street Journal, they get like 50 or so, don't they?
It's a pretty wide range. Some of the models with bigger engines get about 50, and then there are some smaller ones that get 70, 80. There's one that touts a mileage figure of about 115 miles per gallon.
Whoa.
That Yamaha makes. So
whoa.
You really get your money's worth out of your gallon of gas, which is just about $4 now.
Have you looked into the environmental impact of scooters like Vespa? Obviously, it has better gas mileage, but, you know, there was a study by the EPA a few years ago that found, and I don't know how this is true, but the EPA said at the time that most scooters on the road polluted more than SUVs.
Right, and it's a big sore point, especially with scooter enthusiasts, that if you look at it per gallon, you know, a scooter burning a gallon of gasoline versus a car, an SUV, the pollution control technology on automobiles is just far more advanced than what you find on motorcycles and scooters. So you're going to get more pollution.
Why is it? They just can't make them that small?
Well, you know, every bit of pollution control that you apply to an engine takes some of the power away, and as the engines get smaller, it's harder to do that. And also, they're just the government has never clamped down on two-wheelers the way they have on cars because there are just so many more cars out there. And
right. So I guess somebody, you know, environmental groups or somebody will do a kind of total cost-benefit analysis and say, well, is it worth the additional stuff that's coming out of the tailpipe for the 115 miles a gallon that you're getting,
right,
and the save in the carbon footprint.
Right, and I think on an individual level, it's much better for the consumer who's riding the scooter and getting 100 miles per gallon. But, you know, there's some questions, and it depends on how, you know, if everyone switched to a scooter tomorrow, maybe it would be a little bit different. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I think the argument will continue for some time.
Yoram in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Yoram.
Hi. Listen, I love your show, and I'm always listening to it when I get a chance to work from my office.
Thank you.
I've got I bought a Bajaj, which is it's a Vespa, which was manufactured in India, and I bought it from Scooter Central in Plainville, Connecticut. And the reason I'm pointing that out is because I drove 90 miles to go there because I love that scooter dealership. And I get 70 miles per gallon on my 150cc single-cylinder scooter. And I bought it in 2002 because gasoline was reaching $2 a gallon, and I've got a six-cylinder minivan for my family. And when I go up, I use it all over the place to go to the courts because I'm a lawyer. And by taking the scooter, I can generally park legally within two streets of every courthouse in New York City and Westchester and Rockland County. So I go there on the highways, and I park within one or two streets of the courthouse. I go in, I go out, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun, and I get, as I said, 70 miles per gallon.
Yeah, so you have the minivan and the scooter.
Right, and I've got 14,000 miles on this scooter since 2003. I bought it in December of 2002.
Now, you mentioned parking. What are the laws about parking scooters and motorcycles? Because I've noticed that a lot of owners seem to remove their license plates so they can't be ticketed.
Well, that's wrong. That's wrong, and it's illegal. You're supposed to, first of all, if you have a motorcycle or a scooter, it has to be parked perpendicular to the curb, not parallel parked like a car.
Oh, really?
That's right, and it makes sense because that permits more space for a car to be parked in the bulk of the space, let's say, of a parking spot.
And it's that short, front to back, that it wouldn't take up any more, distance than the width of a car, so it's not sticking out into the street?
No more than the width of a Honda Civic.
Wow.
You know, and I'd like to point out two things. Number one, the sound that you've been hearing on the radio show is of a two-cycle engine. And I don't believe Vespa or there's only one or two manufacturers that produce a two-cycle engine nowadays because of pollution issues. The Vespa and the Bajaj that I'm aware of, and the one that I had certainly, is a four-cycle engine, just like a car.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't mix oil and gas, and therefore it's a lot less polluting.
Yoram, I'm going to leave it there. A lot of information. Thank you very much. Interesting experiences. And Jonathan, I don't feel like I ever see them actually park perpendicular like that.
Oh, there's a bit of parking anarchy out there. I have seen them park that way near my office, and it seems like they still get tickets sometimes. I have some colleagues who ride them, and it sounds like it's almost a roulette game as far as whether you get a ticket or not. And, if you're not parked in a proper parking space, and if you try to park in a garage, some garages won't accept them, some will. An increasing number are at least experimenting with scooter-only or motorcycle-only parking spaces, but they're hard to find. I find it's one of the toughest things to do. I've tried out these scooters. I ride a motorcycle in every so often, and finding a spot to park is difficult. Getting there is easy, but finding a space that you can be confident in.
Let me ask you one big picture question before you go, and,
sure.
And then we're going to talk about John McCain's nuclear proliferation speech. He may be a much more of a no-nukes Republican than President Bush, and we'll hear some clips. But big picture, do you get the sense that we're experiencing a major shift in car culture now because of the rise in price in gasoline, similar to what happened in the gas crisis here in the 1970s? At that time, that was really when Toyota started making inroads on the U.S. market and, just recently became the number one automaker in America. And Thomas Friedman writes today in his New York Times column, recalling the 70s, that the first time we got such a strong price signal after the 73 oil shock, we responded as a country by demanding and producing more fuel-efficient cars. But as soon as oil prices started falling again in the late 80s, early 90s, we let Detroit get us re-addicted to gas guzzlers. And he writes about how our economy now is based on borrowing from China to pay Saudi Arabia, you know, in lieu of a real energy policy, which nobody has developed yet, including the presidential candidates, he says. So is this the real shift, or is it just too early to tell because $4 gasoline may be a tipping point for people's behavior, but it's just too new?
Right. It is new, and you never know how long these things will last. They tend to be cyclical, these price shocks. But for now, the shift is definitely real. We were so surprised to see people actually parking their SUVs to ride scooters that it's actually happening. It's quite a shift. And, you know, I think what we're really seeing is a difference in the makeup of the family fleet. You know, they're going to keep the SUVs, but now they're adding a scooter so they can deal with the price shocks a little bit more. It's almost like hedging. You know, if the prices go down, they'll probably start driving the SUVs again.
You'd be like our caller from the Bronx who owns a minivan and a scooter,
right,
and uses the one or the other depending on the situation. Well, Jonathan Welsh covers consumer trends in the auto industry for the Wall Street Journal. You know, we have a lot of people writing or calling with one other question that we didn't address, which is, what about safety? How safe are scooters? And the short answer is, don't have a collision with a Chevy Suburban, right?
That's it. They're never going to be as safe as a car. The death rates for scooters are a lot lower than for the motorcycle population at large.
Really? Why?
I think people tend to ride them a little more slowly, and it seems like maybe scooter riders are just a bit more cautious. Who knows?
All right. Jonathan Welsh from the Wall Street Journal, thanks a lot for joining us. Interesting conversation. Appreciate it a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, John McCain, and no nukes, or at least not as many. Stay with us.